You again. We're so thankful for your warm welcome and all your kindness. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to open God's Word before you. The reading will be in the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 11. God's word says the following in Exodus 15 and 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? After 400 years of slavery, the Israelites left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea supernaturally. And all this was only possible because of God's unlimited power. And so we ask, how did the redeemed and those that were going to be rescued respond? Well, they did what all those who have been bought should also do. They praise them by singing a hymn. And what we find in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 18, is what they rendered before God's presence. In this song of praise, the Israelites focused on worshiping the Lord for having magnified himself in a number of different ways. Their singing began with them stating, you'll notice in verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. And we can also notice that they primarily exalted God for the following reasons. One, for the power that he had amazingly displayed by humiliating and destroying the Egyptians. We can notice again, in verse 1, how they sang, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Verses 4 to 6, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Two, they also worshiped him for the strength that he had exhibited by saving the Hebrews. We notice in verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Thirdly, they also praised Jehovah for the might that he displayed over all the nations. Verses 14 to 16, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom thou hast purchased. And so we see how The Israelites praise God for the might that he displayed over all the nations, also over all the gods of the Gentiles. Verse 11, which we read, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And they also extolled him for him being over all his creation. Verse 8, "And with a blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." Also verse 10, "Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters." And so our God is also over all of creation. And number 4, the Israelites also worship God for the sovereignty that he will forever exert over absolutely everything. The hymn concludes by them singing in verse 18, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." And so we can all marvel at all these things that the Israelites found in the Lord for them to worship him, and we can worship him for those same reasons. But I would like for us to focus our attention on the verse that we read, verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" The way these two questions are phrased bring before us the incredible truth that our God is incomparable. And so I would like us to gaze at God's incomparableness this afternoon by considering the following in regards to what these two questions in verse 11 bring before us. Firstly, I would like us to think on the fact that our God is unique. Our God is unique. In both of these rhetorical questions, the Israelites recognize that our God is completely, absolutely, and totally unique. They asked, "Who is like unto thee?" They also asked a similar question, "Who is like thee?" By asking this, they were declaring that they were convinced that the Lord is like none other. And so may we too be convinced more and more of how singular, how peculiar our God is, that we can also say as the psalmist in Psalm 35:10, "Who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and needy from him that spoileth him." Or we might also quote Psalm 71:19, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee." We read in Psalm 89, verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" Our God is unique. He is like none other. A British author wrote about 4 centuries ago, "Whatever God is, he is infinitely so. He is infinite wisdom, infinite goodness, infinite knowledge, infinite power, infinite spirit, infinitely distant from the weakness of creatures, infinitely mounted above the excellencies of creatures, as easy to be known that he is, impossible to be comprehended what he is. Conceive of him as excellent, without any imperfection, a spirit without parts, great without quantity, perfect without quality, everywhere without place, powerful without members, understanding without ignorance, wise without reasoning, light without darkness, infinitely more beautiful, infinitely more excelling the beauty of all creatures than the light in the sun, pure and unviolated, exceeds the splendor of the sun dispersed and divided through a cloudy and misty air, And when you have risen to the highest, conceive him yet infinitely above all you can conceive of spirit, and acknowledge the infirmity of your own minds. And whatsoever conception comes into your mind, say, this is not God. God is more than this. Our God is unique. But in these questions that the Hebrews sang in verse 11, we can also learn something regarding the tremendous truth that our God is superior. The people of Israel confessed in their song that God is unique because of his superiority. They emphasized that the true and living God is superior to all the gods of the nations who were weak and non-existent. They sang, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" Our Lord, the God that we all believe in, he is not among the gods in the sense that he is just one more among them. No, our great God is in the midst of the gods in the sense that he is immensely and infinitely superior to all those other false gods. The psalmist, he pours his heart in praise before the Lord, and he says, "Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works." Psalm 86, verse 8. We heard this morning a couple of times concerning Isaiah's prophecy, and if you've ever read chapters 40 to 45, you could notice that the Lord Jehovah, as it were, he puts all the gods of the nations on trial. It's as if he were to take them to court, and he challenges them, and he exposes them. He brings forth their utter weakness and manifests his unlimited power. And he does that to convince the Israelites that they should abandon their idolatry and recognize the Lord and him only as being the only true God. And one of the things that the Lord does is declare all that he is in order to show by contrast how much greater he is than man's idols. He says to them, for example, concerning himself in Isaiah 41:10, "I am thy God." In Isaiah 41:14, he speaks to them as being their redeemer. In Isaiah 43:25, he says to them, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." Isaiah 44:6, he says that title concerning himself, which we find in reference to Christ Jesus in the New Testament, "I am the first and I am the last." And then in Isaiah 45, in three occasions, verses 5, 18, and 22, he says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." We recognize God this morning as being superior to all things. We submit to his kinship and his dominion. We praise him for governing all things. God is the King of Israel, Isaiah 44:6. He is not only the King of Israel, but he is also the God of all kingdoms, Isaiah 37:16. He is not only the God of all kingdoms, but he is also the King of kings, 1 Timothy 6:15. He is not only the King of kings, but he is also the King over all the earth, Psalm 47:2. He is not only the King over all the earth, but he is also King eternal, 1 Timothy 1:17. And this God, he is our King. And we can joyfully declare concerning him, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Psalms 45:6. Our God is unique. Our God is superior. Thirdly, our God is magnificent. Our God is magnificent. In this beautiful hymn that the Israelites sang concerning the Lord, they said that he is glorious, or the word is magnificent. He is glorious, magnificent in holiness. This is something that cannot be passed over as we observe this song. I want you to notice that the Hebrews did not direct their hymn of victory to a God who is holy. This hymn was sung to the God who is glorious in holiness. He is magnificent in holiness. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is not just holy. He is magnificently, gloriously, majestically, honorably holy. In verse 6, God is magnificent in power. In verse 11, God is magnificent in holiness. And so we should all continue to extol our God's magnificence, as David did by saying, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. He also says there in Psalm 145, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. We could also express God's magnificence by saying with the psalmist, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalm 104, verse 1. We exalt our Father by quoting King David again, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. 1 Chronicles 29:11. And so how should we all respond to this God that is magnificent in power? Verse 6. And magnificent in holiness. Verse 11. While we might worship him by saying as the psalmist did, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Our God is magnificent. Fourthly, we notice in this verse in Exodus 15 that our God is holy. Because in the words that we read, we see that the Lord is extolled above all the gods of the Gentiles for a number of glorious attributes that characterize the triune God, one of them being his holiness, God's holiness. The song expresses that there is none so glorious in his holiness as the Lord is. The hymn asks the question, who is like thee, glorious in holiness? And as the sons of Abraham crossed the Red Sea, they were overwhelmed. They were astounded at the moral excellency of the one who had redeemed them. And in a very simple and weak manner, I would like us to do the same, that we would admire the holiness of our God. And in regards to God being perfectly separate from any form of wickedness, we can notice the following. One, that God himself affirms that he is holy. Leviticus 19:2, the Lord said concerning himself, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God says that he is holy. Number two, angels proclaim that God is holy. We read of that amazing scene in Isaiah chapter 6, how the seraphim exclaim one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God says that he is holy. The angels proclaim that he is holy. Isn't it amazing that even Satan's demons recognize God's holiness? Because demons said to the Lord Jesus on one occasion, let us alone, and what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? How art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Even demons recognize that our Lord is holy. But number four, those that have been saved also declare that he is holy. Hannah beautifully said, as she prayed to the Lord in his temple when she was dedicating Samuel to his service. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Our God is holy. And the scriptures show us how all that pertains to God is holy. Nothing that is linked to him in some way or another is not holy. Psalm 57:15, his name is holy. Psalm 98:1, his power is holy. Psalm 105:42, his word is holy. Psalm 89:35, his oaths are holy. Exodus 3:5, his presence is holy. Psalm 11:4, his temple is holy. Psalm 77:13, his ways are holy. 2 Timothy 1:9, his calling is holy. Hebrews 12:10, his trials are holy. Deuteronomy 7:6, his people are holy. Psalms 47:8, his throne is holy. Hebrews 7:26, his son is holy. Matthew 1:18, his spirit is holy. Proverbs 30, verse 3, his knowledge is holy. Luke 1:72, his covenants are holy. Ephesians 5:27, his church is holy. Ralph Benning, in his book, The Sinfulness of Sin, written in 1669, wrote, God is holy, all holy, only holy, altogether holy, and always holy. And so as God is holy in everything, this means that all that God thinks is holy. All that God says is holy. All that God feels is holy. All that God decides is holy. All that God does is holy. All that God allows is holy. All that God ordains is holy. God's faithfulness is holy. God's self-sufficiency is holy. God's goodness is holy. Absolutely everything about our Lord is according to his perfect holiness. And we read here that our Lord is glorious in holiness. And he also possesses all these various attributes which I have mentioned and many more. But brothers and sisters, our God is so far beyond what our minds can comprehend that, strictly speaking, God is not made up of all these different virtues that characterize his wondrous being. Rather, God is what he is in his essence. In other words, not only is God righteous, but he is righteousness. Our God is not only loving, but he is love. Our God is not only holy, but he is holiness. Our Father is inherently and intrinsically holy. We also read in the Bible, for example, that God is spirit, John 4:24. He is light, 1 John 1:5. He is love, 1 John 4:8. Hebrews 12:29, he is a consuming fire. And so as we admire this holy God whom we've come to know, this is why we love to sing the hymn written in the 19th century by Reginald Heber, who ministered in Calcutta, India. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and nevermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth, in sky, and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I notice you have it in your hymn book. We can also delight in the words written by Thomas Binney around the same time as the previous hymn I've quoted. Eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When placed within your searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight can face such majesty. The spirits who surround your throne may bear that burning bliss, but that is surely theirs alone, since they have never, never known a fallen world like this. Oh, how shall I, whose dwelling here is dark, whose mind is dim, before the face of God appear, and on my human spirit bear the uncreated beam? There is a way for us to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. And the hymn ends by saying, such grace prepares us for the sight of holiness above. Those once in ignorance and night can dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. And one day that will be our experience. We will gaze at God in all his holiness. How incredible that our God is holy. Number five, we can also say, based on Exodus 15:11, that, and this might sound strange at first, but our God is terrible. Our God is terrible. We see something of God's terribleness in Exodus 15:11. Moses and approximately 2 million Israelites in this song express something concerning God's terribleness when they exclaimed, fearful in praises. The word fearful in Hebrew can be translated as terrible. In our Spanish Bible, that's exactly what it says, that God is terrible in praises. What does that teach us? What does it mean when we say that God is terrible in this sense? In this sense, it underlines the tremendous truth that all that God is in his being, in his essence, and all that God does in his works causes us to fear him and to worship him. The fact that God is terrible in this sense means that he is to be greatly admired, that he should be praised, that he should be feared, that he should be honored. The Lord's terribleness is something that we should always marvel at. Elihu understood God's terribleness when he said in Job 37:22, with God is terrible majesty. David, he knew something about the terribleness of God's breathtaking presence and majesty. He says in Psalm 68:35, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. In Psalms 18, verses 7 to 15, David also makes it abundantly clear that our Lord possesses a terribleness like none other when he describes God rescuing him from all his troubles. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy nostrils. Our God is terrible. Sixthly, we can also say that our God is powerful. The Israelites also honored God by distinguishing his power. They sung, "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" The Lord was praised for his unparalleled and unlimited power. This word wonders describes God's marvelous works. Every single work of God is wondrous and marvelous. The heavens praise God's wonders, Psalm 89:5. God's testimonies, his word, are wonderful, Psalms 119:129. God's wonders of old are to be remembered by each of us, Psalm 77:11. And we know that one of the many beautiful titles of God's Son is wonderful, Isaiah 9:6. How powerful is our God, brothers and sisters. How marvelous is our God. How wondrous is our God. We should never cease to be amazed that God, that our God is almighty, and that there is nothing that can limit his strength. As the angel said to Mary, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." And so this morning we bow and wonder before the Lord who can do absolutely everything. We cast all our sorrows before him, knowing that he can do all things. And we place our faith in the one who does wonders. Our God is powerful. Lastly, I would like you to notice that this song of Moses was so significant that for the ages to come, this same hymn will be sung by the redeemed before the Lord's presence in heaven and his holy temple. According to Revelation chapter 15, those who will overcome by God's grace will unanimously, we read there, sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And we will all sing, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Until then, brothers and sisters, may we all live in constant admiration of this incomparable God. May we all live loving him, imitating him, obeying him, serving him, worshiping him. Truly, there is none like our God. He should rule the way we commune with himself. He should dominate the way we guide our families. He should direct the way we treat others in the body of Christ. He should guide the way we seek those who are perishing. In absolutely every aspect of our lives, our God should be our all. And if you are not a believer this morning, you should turn from your sin to this incomparable God in this very moment. Believe him. Believe his Son. Believe his word. Believe his gospel. And having done that, may you surrender your life to the God who is like none other. Our God, we